Hello and welcome back to the CTB show. It is draft day, one of the greatest days of the year. And if you are listening to this episode, first of all, thanks for tuning in. I'm Thomas Brockner, as always joined by Christian Catanacci. But also, this is our second episode of the day. We did a 5 bold predictions for draft day episode as well, so make sure to check that one out. If you already have checked that out, you must be excited for this episode. We are going through the entire first round of the NFL draft, team by team. It's a unique year where every single team still owns their first round picks. We are sure there are going to be some trades to mess this all up, but we're going team by team and saying who we think each GM should take. So this is not a mock draft based off of projections of what we're hearing or what we're seeing. This is what we would do. Always a fun exercise every single year. Kat, how you doing, first of all, and are you excited to dive into this?
Oh, yeah. This is honestly probably one of the cooler exercises that we've done on the show because it puts you in like the eyes of or I guess the boots, not the eyes, of an NFL GM. And you know what? We're going to go back on this and say, look, see, they should have took who we said. Yeah, when their guy goes and has one of the worst rookie seasons of all time.
The draft busts, though, we won't say a word.
Yeah. So no, we'll be crickets for that.
We'll ignore that
we'll
one.
Be crickets for that.
Let's just hop right into it. We'll get started with the Tennessee Titans. We'll just go back and forth. You'll say your prediction. We'll say ours. If there's a big difference, we'll discuss. But I don't think there will be one, at least early in the draft. We had our buddy Easton Freeze, Titans beat reporter from A to Z Sports, on months ago, and he told us what we've known all along. First overall, the Tennessee Titans. If I'm the GM, if you're the GM, if anyone's the GM, the pick has to be Cam Ward.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm happy you brought up Easton because I wanted to shout him out again because after that podcast, I went back and watched Cam Ward because I wasn't necessarily down on him. I just wasn't sure on him. So I went back and watched him after Easton essentially did his pitch to us. And you know what? Look, I became a Cam Ward fan, and I'm a fan of his game, and I like his journey, and I think he brings a lot of intangibles. And for a team that's in dire need of a quarterback, they have to go Cam Ward here at one. So, yeah, I'm glad we're in agreement there.
It's not the strongest quarterback draft in the world, but you only have this opportunity to pick first in a draft. You know, who knows if this will – hopefully it never happens again for the Titans. Their quarterback situation is not great with Will Levis. Go out and take Cam Ward, see what he can bring you, and 4 years of a cheap rookie deal helps a ton of franchises. We'll move on to the Cleveland Browns, another team that doesn't really have a quarterback. They've paid one, he's injured, and he also hasn't been great. I have them taking Travis Hunter, though. Again, speaks to the strength of the quarterback class and the fact that Travis Hunter is a prospect that we might not see ever again in the NFL. Who knows how they'll use him? You hope that they use him on both sides of the ball. But if I'm Andrew Berry, I'm taking Travis Hunter at 2.
Yeah, I'm taking him. And not only am I taking him, I'm playing him on both sides of the ball every single time. I'm doing it. You're drafting him there for a reason, and that's exactly what you're going to how you should deploy him.
It's interesting to see how that carries out over time. He's clearly like an insane athlete to be even able to do this in college. But you obviously, the risk of injury is higher. I think for sure defense, he's yes. Starting every down. That's just the way defense flows. Offense might be a little bit more here and there, but I think like he has to play on both sides of the ball. That's the pick for Cleveland. Move on to the New York Giants at number 3. Who do you have them taking?
I have them taking Shedeur Sanders.
That's what you would do if you were the
GM. I would. If I was the GM, I would be like, look, we need a long-term answer at quarterback, and I don't care what's going to happen. I'm going to take the best quarterback available. And in my opinion, that's Shedeur Sanders. Now, does he have the ceiling of this all-pro quarterback? Maybe not. But you're not going to know that. You're not going to get a franchise quarterback unless you take constant bites at the apple until you get one. And I'm sorry, Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston aren't the answer. Sure, you want to win 4 games with them, 5 games with them, and ruin your chances next year? Go right ahead. But at least in the process, when you're doing that, you at least be developing Shedeur Sanders on the sideline. So give me Shedeur Sanders. Give me the quarterback of the future for the New York Giants.
Our first pick where we don't agree on what we do. If I'm the Giants, I'm taking Abdul Carter. I'm building my team through the trenches. I get it. There's external pressure that Joe Shane's facing because they need to win soon. And I feel like the Russell Wilson signing has a lot to do with that. I'm not in love with Shadur as a prospect. I think you're better off punting this massive decision down the line at least one more year. Russell Wilson, yeah, you want to laugh at him. He's corny. He hasn't been elite recently, but I think he still has some good football in him with the right group of weapons. And I think Malik Nabers being there gives him something that he didn't have a year ago in Pittsburgh. And I think if you build a good defense around him, you know, the proof's in the pudding in Pittsburgh. He can win you 9-8 games, and I feel like that might be enough to save some jobs in New York this year. It's this decision is more of the fact that I'm just not in love with Shadur, and I really value what Abdul Carter brings to the table. I'm going Abdul Carter at number 3 if I'm GM of the Giants. Bringing us to number 4, the New England Patriots.
I'm taking Abdul Carter here. Obviously, again, you sort of pitched me on it. Like, this team needs good football players, and Abdul Carter is a pretty good football player. So that's all I got to say there. Put him at 4.
In my hypothetical land right now, the Patriots don't have that luxury. So I'm going to have them taking Will Campbell. I don't care at all about the arm size nonsense. That was never even a thing the last 4 or 3 years when he was dominating at LSU. So I'm going to take Will Campbell. Again, they need so much help, the Patriots. Well, maybe not as much as we think, because they did make some really good moves in free agency. But when you have a young quarterback, it's never a bad idea to pair him with a young tackle that can really bolster the offensive line. Number 5, the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is where it gets really interesting. Of course, the Genty buzz has been big. What do you have them doing?
I'm not a big running back in the first round, let alone the top 5, especially in this specific situation. So look, protect Trevor Lawrence. Give him Will Campbell. He's there at 5 in this hypothetical land, like Pac just said. Dominated LSU again with the hand size, the arm size, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Ton on the tape. He's a darn good football player. Give me him to the Jags at 5.
Yeah, I see why they want to take Ashton Genty. You bring in Liam Cohen. You have a young GM. Everyone's into offense. You have this quarterback that you're paying $55 million a year that, quite frankly, just has not worked out at all to the level that you've expected of him, but it just doesn't make sense. And I think 4 years from now, what is going to be the decision that puts your roster in a better position? Because yeah, sure, it might be fun year one, Ashton Genty, because you can give him 350 carries. It's going to help Trevor Lawrence, whatever. I just think down the line, when you're committing to building a solid team around Trevor Lawrence in the trenches, you have a 5th overall pick, you don't take a running back here. Even if he looks great and he's a shiny, fun toy, that's all good. I'm going Mason Graham, though, and I just think that he's a relatively safe player. He's a player that you can build around in your defense. He feels like he's kind of been disrespected throughout the draft process. Not a lot of people have talked about him as a fun pick, but this is a need for the Jaguars on the defense side of the ball, a defense that has struggled as of late. So I'm going Mason Graham, which I guess in both of our scenarios, the Las Vegas Raiders, who have been very open about wanting Ashton Genty, he is available for them. Are you pulling the trigger?
I'm not. I'm going to stick to the offensive line and how you should build the team if you're the Raiders, and I'm going to go with Armin Mimbo. And I think, again, it's one of those just you build through the trenches. All the good teams do that. And despite not having the quarterback yet, you at least have the offensive line or a piece on the offensive line that you're hoping to just plug in and forget about for the next 15 years. And I think you got that in Membu, who is just an absolute force. And he would actually be the first NFL player from Cameroon, I believe.
Oh, I don't know that. He's born in
Cameroon. Okay. I saw that on Twitter today. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's what I saw, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I have Membu as well written down. Again, Genty would be nice. Does it match up more with Geno Smith's timeline? For sure. But you need to look long-term, and while Gino, you've paid him and everything, Membu is a guy that, you know, 6 years from now, he could still be there, you know, a dominant cornerstone as one of your tackles. Hopefully they can re-sign Colton Miller, too. I know he wants a big payday and everything, but I just feel like that's the smart move for Vegas. We both agree there. We'll move on to number 7, the New York Giants. Now, Tyler Warren's been a popular pick in all the mock drafts here for the Jets. Are you going tight end this early?
I'm still not going tight end. I got 3 straight tackles in my hypothetical world. I'm going with Kelvin Banks. Look, you just need to protect your quarterback and give Justin Fields a fair chance to earn that job and be the franchise quarterback of the Jets. And I love Kelvin Banks. I love his versatility. I love his character. I think he's a great, great player, and he's got that just fierceness. When you look at an NFL tackle and you see how just fast and strong, and they just look like they want to just beat the piss out of you every single time you're looking at them, I see that with Kelvin Banks. So I think he's going to be a darn good pro, and I'm taking him here if I'm the Jets and he's available.
Like, we're at the point now, we've got, what, 4 years of watching Justin Fields in the NFL. We know what he is. He is a uber-talented
athlete.
Yes. He is dynamic running the football. He has some weeks where he looks really good as a passer. He has some weeks where he struggles. And I think when you look at his weapons, like, he's got Breece Hall, which I think will be great for him, especially in the passing game. And Garrett Wilson should be eating so many targets every week. Justin Fields' best season was DJ Moore nonstop in Chicago. And I just feel like, would it be nice to have a tight end? Yeah, but I don't think the Jets are in this phase of their rebuild where they can afford this luxury. You took Olu Fashanu last year. I got them taking Kelvin Banks as well. Build a fortress around your quarterback, whether it's Justin Fields 2 years from now or someone else. At least you have this already in place with back-to-back years of young, dominant tackles. And the main thing with Justin Fields throughout his entire time in Chicago is he had no protection. Now we actually will get to see what he looks like with an offensive line. You lost Tyron Smith. You lost Morgan Moses. You need to take tackles. Resist the temptation of the shiny new toy in Tyler Warren and take a tackle. That's what I'm banging the table
for. I agree.
In the Jets war room. Number eight, Carolina Panthers. I think we all know it's going to be defense. They just need it badly. But this is a funny, you said this to me earlier today. When's the last time you've seen a pick this late in the top 10 where, like, it is so consensus? You said he's about minus 200 to go there.
He was minus 200 on DraftKings.
I haven't seen a mock draft, I think, in the last week that doesn't have Jalen Walker going to the Carolina Panthers. And it just makes sense.
Yeah, and I agree with it, too. I think he's a really, really good player. And he's versatile. He can play pass rusher. He can also drop back as a linebacker. He comes from a good program. I think Carolina's in dire need of high character guys, especially when they're at that position. We're talking about the worst defense in the NFL here. Like, I get it. People want to throw a shiny new weapon for Bryce Young's to play with and to continue to develop into that top quarterback that people think he's going to become. But there's a whole other side of the football that you can't just ignore. And they need a pass rusher badly. They just need good players on that side of the ball. It's a common theme that I'm saying a lot towards the top half of this draft. But yeah, give me Jalen Walker. I'm glad we're on the same page, as everybody, I guess, seems to be on the same page.
Yeah. This, well, we won't be on the same page for the New Orleans Saints, because the player I have them taking, you have already drafted elsewhere. And to me, this is the Shedeur Sanders spot. And I know that might sound a little bit hypocritical, because I just talked about why the Giants shouldn't take him, because I'm not that high on him. But the Saints need information. That's what they need. You have been in no man's land for a long time now. Now this Derek Carr stuff has come out about how he might not be able to play at all. To me, this is just an opportunity for someone to just, Shedeur, we're going to give you the keys right away. They made a really tough decision giving Derek Carr all that money. Now the decision they had to make earlier in the offseason about his bonus coming to him and everything, that's obviously aged poorly because of the injury. You need to have someone starting back there. And you can't just go Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
So Shredder's there at nine. I would take him. And now you have at least what I feel has been kind of a directionless team for the past couple of years. You have now a direction. Our future is Shedeur Sanders. We're going to build around him. Let's see what he's got. And if it doesn't work out in the first 2-3 years, you're probably going to be back here and you have a chance to draft another quarterback in this position. But at least start getting yourself like, oh, this is our future in New Orleans, because I've just had so many questions of what they've been doing really since Drew Brees retired.
Yes. Look, I agree with everything you said there. And if I was picking in your situation, I would probably draft Shedeur as well. But in mine, I'm going to stop the slide of Mason Graham. I just think he's too good of a football player to be available at nine. And again, it's a need for me. And I look at Mason Graham as a very, 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 very underrated player. Like, when people talk blue chip prospects, everyone's talking Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter, people threw Cam Ward in there. I think Mason Graham is right up in there. Like, he is a focal point of this Michigan football team that just happened to win the national championship 2 years ago, and he played a big part of it. Give me him at 9. I mean, I'm shocked that he's still available for me as the Saints GM, but I'm taking him.
All right, number 10, Chicago Bears. This, to me, is where you pull the trigger on Ashton Jeanty.
And yeah, I got
you
there, too.
I just said, oh, the Jags shouldn't do it. The Raiders shouldn't do that. The Bears are in a different stage of their rebuild. They addressed the offensive line. They've spent big on the defense. Caleb Williams has his receivers already in place. It's weird to talk about the Bears, the fact that they're picking 10th overall and they had a really bad season last year, as a team with not a lot of holes. But how they've quickly built their team around Caleb, it feels like really they don't have a lot of holes. And it's now on Caleb. Jeanty is another guy that's going to help ease the pressure. You can give this guy 25 carries a game. He is a machine. And I feel like Chicago would be the best landing spot for him.
I'm praying for this.
It would be big time.
Yeah, I think this is like the best possible landing spot for Ashton Jeanty. I think he could just come in and be a force instantly. And I have him there too. Look, if he's playing for my football team, I'm a Bears GM. I'm darn happy about that. You don't even have to speak on him. He's just such a good running back. But it goes against the team building philosophy. But I think in this specific situation, he's a no-brainer if he's there.
All right, we're 10 picks down. We're going to start flying through these a little quicker as we get into the teens here. San Francisco at 11. What do you have them doing?
I have Shamar Stewart. A lot of people don't like him. I like the potential, and I think that's what you're trying to do when you're drafting the first round, like you're projecting, right? He doesn't have the stats to back it up, but he's an absolute freak. And he plays in a premium money five position, and San Francisco likes to draft a lot of them. So give me Shamar Stewart.
I got Walter Nolan, but it's a very similar philosophy in terms of the pick.
And he was really good at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he's a riser for sure that I feel like could definitely even maybe creep into the top 10 on draft day. But Walter Nolan, for me, they never really replaced DeForest Buckner. I know he left so long ago, but
true, though,
they never really did. And I feel like this is a guy that can come in and do that. Your Dallas Cowboys, this is an interesting little run here we have, because your Dallas Cowboys are at 12. My Miami Dolphins are at 13. I feel like they're not really going to... I don't feel like your Cowboys are going to pry away a player that I want just because of the different team needs. But I'm curious to hear from you who you would think they should take.
I think they got to take Tet McMillan here if I'm making the decisions. I assume you also have a receiver.
Yeah, I have Matthew Golden.
See, like, I'm not a big Matthew Golden guy. I see the intrigue behind him because he ran the 4.29 speed. They need speed, and people project him to be a good complement to CeeDee Lamb. My concern with Golden is, like, okay, why did it take him 10 weeks to become the wide receiver one at Texas? Like, it took him Isaiah Bond injury for him to just now become the wide receiver one. And he really only had a handful of good games down the stretch, like 4 games. And now, that's not to say he's not going to be a good pro. I'm just more in the business of taking the 6'4 guy that dominated for 3 years. He looks like a former Cowboy receiver, Dez Bryant. He complements what CeeDee Lamb can't really do, and that's contested catch. And he just gives a lot of... He gives the Cowboys a weapon that they haven't had in a while, and they have a really good one in CeeDee Lamb, so you don't need this guy to be like the best receiver on the team because he's not going to be. But yeah, give me McMillan. If he's here, I would just run to the... I would lose my mind on Jerry Jones if he didn't take Tet McMillan here, assuming he's available.
I'm not going to fight you too hard on that, especially because now my landing spot for Tet McMillan, just because of the way the chips fell, I'm not the biggest fan of where I put him. But we'll move on to number 13, the Miami Dolphins. I want to ask you first, before I give my take, who do you have in this situation?
I have Josh Simmons. I don't like to call him a tackle because I think he could just play anywhere on the offensive line. I think that's why this spot's intriguing for me, because Miami needs bodies on the offensive line and needs versatile bodies. And he's a great player, too. Like, you're talking good program again, versatile, and he's a good athlete. Like, that's sort of checks all three boxes for me if I'm picking offensive lineman in the first round. So give me Josh Simmons.
I'm going O-line as well, because to me, the Dolphins, they just need some beef, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's the defense line. Get someone in the trenches that's going to make this team tougher, harder to play against. You lose Teron Armstead. They took a left tackle a year ago, Patrick Paul, who's very raw, 6'8", massive guy that hopefully can be the left tackle. That's why I went with Booker, more of an interior guy. But to me, any offensive lineman, just take him. Find a way to give Tua more protection. I know people are mocking corner like crazy because of this weird Jalen Ramsey news that's come out. But I'm going to go with Tyler Booker, the offensive lineman out of Alabama. Indianapolis at 14. What do you have them doing?
I mean, in both our situations, we have Tyler Warren available. So do we go Tyler Warren here?
They missed out on Bowers a year ago. Fair. I feel like now they'll get Tyler Warren. Get someone for, I guess, Daniel Jones. I feel like Daniel Jones is going to be the starter.
Yeah, but I agree. Situation. Like, he's a good player. But, like, you need the weapons for the quarterback, whoever it is. And he could do both. He can't just, you know, he's a blocker and he's a pass catcher. So, yeah, Tyler Warren.
Atlanta at 15. These guys haven't taken defense in forever in the draft. Everyone thought the stars aligned for them a year ago because no defensive players went for the first however many picks. They were primed to have their pick of the lot of any defensive player in the draft. They went out and took Michael Penix, a move that I guess has aged a lot better than people have thought because of the whole Kirk Cousins performance. But do you have them finally addressing a big need on the defense side of the ball?
I have them taking Mike Green.
Oh, okay, me too. I have Mike Green as well.
Wow, so, see, you know why that makes sense? Because we both saw him dominate.
We saw him for a little bit, and then he just left because he was just so good.
We were
so
looking
good
to interview him. Like, we've got to interview that number 15 guy. Mike Green. And then he just left. And nowhere to be found. But yeah, look, the character concerns, I'm not a big, like, really care that much. They don't seem to be, like, ringing the red flag that hard. But give me Mike Green. I think he's just an absolute freak and a great athlete and somebody that can bring that force on the defensive side of the ball.
16, Arizona Cardinals.
I go in Will Johnson.
Very similar school of thought for me.
Yeah, so you're taking corner?
Yeah, I got Jahdae Barron.
Okay, fair. Look, they need help with the secondary. I'm a big Will Johnson guy. I think if you asked me last year, I think in the way too early mock drafts, we joked about Matt Miller when he was on our podcast 2 weeks ago. Will Johnson was like a top like two pick. Yeah.
Right? I know. It's,
then he got injured.
He's fallen a lot. Yeah. Like even in the last week in the mocks that I read, that's why it's more of, again.
I'm making this pick, so I'm taking Will Johnson because I love him.
Yeah. Okay, Cincinnati at 17. These guys have spent a ton of money investing in the offensive side of the ball. Do they do it again, or would you do it again on draft day if you're there making a pick?
I'm taking Walter Nolan. I know you have him already selected. Yeah. In this case, he slid a bit. Look, defense. You cannot draft a single offensive player. I don't care who it is and is available. That is not a need. And I identified that. Walter Nolan's a good player. Give me him on the defensive line.
So we've swapped Nolan and Shamar Stewart because I haven't taken Shamar Stewart.
Yep.
Especially with the Trey Hendrickson. Who knows? It's kind of a future. I mean, he can even get traded during the draft. But I got Shamar Stewart, edge rusher, a little bit of a different player than Nolan, but also whatever. They just need to take someone. Best player available on defense is kind of the point I'm trying to bring home. Seattle at 18.
I got Gray Zabel, and again, another Senior Bowl product that we
got Gray Zabel too. Yeah.
See, look, you know what? And this is one that makes too much sense because they have needs at all their interior offensive line spots, and he's somebody that can literally play left guard, center, and right guard. So you pick your poison where you want to play him, but he's a really good football player and dominated Mobile for the full week. He was awesome.
I thought they were going to take one of the tackles last year. They ended up going defensive tackle. But yeah, I think Zabel's good, versatile. Like you said, he's good, experienced player, can kind of come in right away, start day one, help shore up that line for Sam Darnold. Go over to 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I feel like every year the Bucs, we have no clue. They never seem to have any glaring holes.
Linebacker this year, though.
I have Jack Campbell going there.
Same with me. I just think it just makes too much sense.
It's just time to replace Levante David. Yes. Like, you need to bring some youth in there. Devin White wasn't the player that we all expected him to be. So I think Jihad Campbell is just a great player. Graham Barton, awesome, I thought, was a good pick a year ago. But go defensive side of the ball this time around. Denver Broncos picking at number 20 overall.
So I'm going running back. I'm not going the running back that everyone thinks they're going to go. I'm going to go with Trevon Henderson. I just think he's awesome. I watch his game, and I'm a huge, huge fan. I think he's got potential to be one of the better running backs in the league, and he's can play all three downs. He can do everything for me. And what better way to compliment a young Bo Nix than give him a top, top running back in Trevon Henderson?
Like, I get the running back. I really wanted to put Amari Hampton here. I'm going to go with Egbuka out of Ohio State.
I love Egbuka too.
And I just feel like One, Courtland Sutton, his contracts, you know, needs to be renewed, needs to be addressed. So you should kind of prepare for life after him. But also, I just feel like even with Courtland Sutton, they just need more for a young quarterback. I thought Bo Nix got a lot out of not much as a rookie. And if you want to see big time strides, you need to give him a little bit more firepower. Ibuka's a really, really good receiver. I think he's going to be a great pro. So I would go with him over there at 20. Pittsburgh Steelers at 21. This has been a big time quarterback spot that many people have predicted. Do you have them addressing the quarterback position?
So I do not, just because the quarterback that I feel they want isn't there, because he was long gone in the situation. He got picked at 3 because the GM of the New York Football Giants took him. Look, you can never use more offensive linemen, and I love Tyler Booker's game. I know you have him gone to your Dolphins. I think he's mean. I think he's a bully, and he is everything that I look. When I look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think of bullies, and I think of strong football players, and that's sort of like Tyler Booker is a Steeler. So I'm taking him.
So I'm taking this whole idea of, like, if you were the GM, to a new literal standpoint for this pick. If all of a sudden tomorrow I woke up and I was the GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would immediately start to panic. And I would say, where's my quarterback? Like, why is there not a quarterback on this roster? Like, an actual starting quarterback.
It's true, though.
Like, why hasn't Aaron Rodgers signed yet? And I think it was the owner that said a quote. He's like, you know, we go into camp with 4 quarterbacks every year. We have 2 right now. Like, we'll get to, like, it was just so casual. And I'm not in love with Jackson Dart, but to me, you got to take someone. And if you listen to our last episode, the bowl predictions, I talked about Jalen Milroe being a first-round pick. I don't know if I'm all in where, like, if you take the guy you take tomorrow night, like, who knows what's going on with Aaron Rodgers at this point? You got to be prepared that the player you draft tomorrow can start week one. And I just don't feel that with Jalen Milroe. That's why I'm going with Jackson Dart. But this is a pick that, like, this is a situation I just don't feel good about in Pittsburgh right now.
I would panic too if I was the GM of the Steelers. One, because I don't like the franchise. And two,
you're just a Steelers hater. I'm not a Steelers hater. I've been hyping up the Steelers for years on the show. But you know what? You bottled the quarterback position. Don't know what's going on there. We'll move on to 22, Los Angeles Chargers. This is a fit that everyone loves. I'm sure we both got it. Colston Loveland, Michigan connection. We all saw Will Disley not being able to catch the ball in the playoffs. Justin Herbert with 4 interceptions. He just needs some help. He needs some weapons. This is a starting point, at least. I'm not saying he's going to come in right away and be Brock Bowers, but it is a starting point to help out your quarterback. So I think we're in agreement there.
Yeah, the connection just says it all. I think this is a perfect fit and a perfect player to complement with Justin Herbert.
All right, we are getting towards the back half of the first round. The Green Bay Packers, again, this is what I was talking about earlier when I said I don't love my Tet McMillan landing spot. Just because this is probably not realistic. They never take receivers in the first round. They haven't done it since 2002. But I'm the GM now. Yep. And I'm getting help for Jordan Love. So I'm taking Tet McMillan
here. I'm also taking a receiver. Tet McMillan is long gone for me. And it's not Matthew Golden either. And it's not Emeka Egbuka. I'm taking Luther Burden III. He's amazing. I love him. I'm not the only person that's high on him. Matt Miller, too, came on our podcast and pounded the table for him. Give me Luther Burden. Another dynamic weapon for Jordan Love to take advantage of.
Minnesota Vikings at 24, Green Bay Packers division rival. What do you got them doing?
I've got them taking Malachi Starks. Again, just Harrison Smith getting old. You need sort of youth in the secondary there. I love the player. I think this is too low for him, especially in a draft like this. So give me Malachi Starks.
I'm going Will Johnson. I'm ending his slide. You talked about this guy being like a slam dunk top 5 pick a year ago at this time, and injuries sort of played a factor there. But Brian Flores does a ton of cool things there in Minnesota. He's always got a great defense, and I think they continue to capitalize on that. You can look at them and be like, hey, you got a young quarterback. Get him some help. Get him some weapons. Minnesota's pretty loaded already as it is. Yeah, Aaron Jones is getting a little bit older as a running back, but there's round 2, there's round 3, there's round 4. It's a very deep running back class. I wouldn't necessarily run to the podium for Amarian Hampton in this situation, so I'm going to go with Will Johnson, end his slide. Houston is up next. I don't know who you have, but I feel like we're going to have a similar position just because their offensive line was gutted in the free agency.
I don't have an offensive lineman. Okay. I have a receiver. I have the Egbuka slide. I call it a slide because he's a really good player too, and I would draft him way higher than this. Like I've said it multiple times, the Cowboys take him at 12. I'd be happy. So give me Egbuka. They just lost Stephon Diggs. Tank Dell's out for the year. I get it. You want to protect CJ Stroud. That would be a good idea too. There just is an offensive lineman on the board that I would like enough to take over Egbuka.
I've got an Ohio State teammate, and I believe this. He's not on the board for you because you already have taken him, and that's Josh Simmons. So that's what I got the Houston Texans doing. That would be big after losing Laremy Tunsil. The Rams up next. Now, when we had Matt Miller on this, we talked about this being a potential quarterback landing spot. If you're the GM, if you're Les Snead, is this where you're preparing for life after Matthew Stafford?
Absolutely. I'm taking Jackson Dart here. Let him sit behind Matthew Stafford for a year or two or however long it takes. But this is going to be the guy of the future. And I like him. I'm not incredibly high on him, but I think behind Matthew Stafford makes me love him more. The idea behind that he can sit behind him and learn all he needs to learn before he takes the job over. Give me Jackson Dart.
I'm not going quarterback, and this is going to sound hypocritical. I mean, I guess I already have Jackson Dart off the board with him going to the Steelers. But even if he was there, to me, I feel like the Rams, they're not quite good enough right now where you can afford, when you're trying to get everything out of Matthew Stafford, where you can afford to pass on a first-round pick. Because if you take this guy, he's not going to help your team get better next year. And I think the Rams still need something. You lost some offensive linemen in the offseason, so I got them going Donovan Jackson, the guard out of Ohio State. I feel like that will help shore things up, protect Matthew Stafford a little bit. But yeah, I understand the thought process behind at least looking into a quarterback, because that day's coming very, very
well,
soon.
Well, I'm the GM. You're not the GM.
Exactly. Right, well, for me, I'm the GM over here. That's why I'm taking a guard. Number 27, the Baltimore Ravens. What do you got them doing?
I think my secondary as the Ravens GM needs more athletes and more youth than just football players. And Cal Hamilton, I get it. You just drafted a safety. You drafted him a couple years ago, and he's a great player, but he plays more in the box. So give me Nick Emanwori, the safety out of South Carolina, who absolutely just lit up the combine. Like, he like put Byron Jones numbers up and just made it seem like it was a walk in the park. So give me him back there. He can shore up my secondary and give me a good athlete that with a lot of range that can take advantage of, that new weapon. I guess not new. The now you're going to have to deal with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase for 15 years now instead of one, right?
So yeah.
You're going to need some secondary help.
I get the thought process behind secondary. I ultimately went with an edge rusher just because last year they took a corner in the first round. So I'm going to go with Mikel Williams out of Georgia. But Baltimore's a team, like, we're now at the point where, first of all, what these teams do is impossible to predict.
Yes.
Because, one, they're good. Two, they don't really have needs. They're kind of going best player available. We don't know what their draft boards look like. So I'm going Mikel Williams out of Georgia. You can never have too much in your front seven. You can never have too many pass rushers. Just bring this guy in if you like him. And honestly, moving into Detroit now at 28, I have them going James Pierce Jr. out of Tennessee, and I feel the exact same way. Pair someone behind Aiden Hutchinson. Why not? You had Za'Darius Smith there, you know, a little bit of an older player. Let's bring some youth into this organization. James Pierce Jr. for me is the pick for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, and I have Michael Williams, which you just had before, because he's too good of a player to last this long, right? So I'm stopping his slide as well. So that takes us to the Commanders at 29, which is an interesting spot here because, I mean, there's a lot of directions that Washington could go in. They've invested heavily on the offensive side, right, with a tackle and a receiver. And I want to know what direction you now. Are you going defense or are you going offense?
This is a fun one because, one, no one thought they'd be picking this late. I don't even think, like, if you put a lie detector in Washington, in that organization last year, and asked the coach and the GM, you're going to be picking at 29 next year, year one of Jane Daniels, you would have laughed.
They would have said, well, okay, what do we trade back with?
How is this possible? The team just is soaring ahead of expectations. They are building just a juggernaut in Washington. You can only hope that Jane Daniels continues to get better. To me, they've given him enough on the offensive side of the ball. Some people have been talking about running backs. I'm going to shout out a loyal listener, Chris Mezzatesta, here. He talked to me about them taking a running back. I can't really buy into the school of thought. I actually like Brian Robinson a ton. Still got Austin Eckler there. Like, it just feels like, let's address the defense side of the ball. The secondary was the weakest point of this team last year. And in this scenario, I'm going Malachi Starks. I think he's a day one starter. He's very, very versatile. He can line up at corner. He can line up at safety. He can line up in the slot. It just gives you more options because I don't know how many times I heard from this specific Commanders fan, Chris, last year, just complaining about their secondary is getting torched. And you need, Jaden Daniels is great. He can play in shootouts. He can win in shootouts. You don't want him to have to do that every week.
Look, you know what? I wanted to do that every week. I'm giving him a running back here, Omarion Hampton. The slide stops again. This is somebody that should go much higher. He's a great running back. So I'm going to make loyal listener Chris Mezzatesta happy.
What a way to just absolutely ruin your 4 years of a rookie contract.
Give me Omarion Hampton. 5 years if you want to include the option. See, that's why I'm the GM. What a way to spoil your window. I'm playing fantasy here if I'm the GM. Right? All right.
Buffalo Bills at 30.
Jade Barron.
That's a pretty big slot. I don't think he's going
to
be there.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I'm not incredibly high on him, which is why he's available to me because I'm making a pick of every single GM. But I like his versatility. I think it's something that I could add to my secondary as GM of the Bills. So give me Jade Barron.
I got Nick Emmanuel. You had already talked about how good this guy is. So athletic. The Bills, they need some safety help. KC, I'm looking over at your screen now as we have the exact same player here. And I'm not saying this is going to happen. It might not be this player, but it better be an offensive lineman because we all watched that Super Bowl. That was total domination. You lost Joe Tooney. Yes, you kept Trey Smith. That's nice, but let's continue to build that, what you'd hope to call a fortress. It's definitely not a fortress right now in front of Patrick Mahomes. You can't go wrong with the tackle. So we both got Josh Connerly out of Oregon. And the last pick, last but not least, the Philadelphia Eagles. I honestly was tempted, and maybe this was just laziness after doing an entire mock draft. They're just right, best player available, because they don't have a single need. And it feels like whoever they do take will turn out to be a very good player. I ultimately settled on Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, the cornerback. They can never have too many corners. Darius Slay as well, not with the team anymore. So it feels like that's the natural, let's bring in a young guy. Who do you have?
So if I'm the GM of the Eagles, I look at my team and I'm saying, you know what? Yeah, there isn't much need. There's a need at quarterback. Like, you probably upgrade there. But I will not be upgrading my quarterback today. I will be taking Donovan Isaraku out of Boston College, the edge rusher, because you can never use too many edge rushers. I'll upgrade my quarterback in the next draft. Fair enough.
You know, you lost Milton Williams and Josh Sweat in free agency. I'm sure pass rusher is somewhat of a priority, although I still think they're fine there. Hopefully Bryce Huff's a little bit better in year two there. Oh my goodness. But there it is. All 32 fun. Picks. We acted as GM of every single team. Let us know which picks you like the best. Let us know which picks you don't agree on. But there it is. That's the episode. Another question I want to ask you. Out of the 32 players that you named there, first round, how many of those guys do you think actually go in the first round? Because every single year, I think we enter day two with like 7 or 8 guys who were like, how are they still there? They were in the first round of every single mock draft and they're not there. And there's guys in the back half who, I'm not saying, oh, we've never even heard of them, but to a certain extent, like, They aren't being talked about as first round picks, and they will go in the first round.
Absolutely. So, I think a good hit rate is like anywhere between 20 to 21. Like, if you can get like, even let's say 20 to 21, that's a range of two numbers. Let's say 19 to 22. Right? Like, let's say that. Give me four numbers. If you can get anywhere between that, like, I think it's a fairly respectable and considered accurate mock draft.
I think this year in particular, because everyone says, oh, the strength of the draft is 20 to 50, there's going to be more names that, oh, I didn't think he was going to win the first round, and I think there's going to be more of, oh, I thought this guy was a shoo-in for the first round. Yeah. That ends up going middle round two kind of deal. But, hey, we finally made it here. It's draft day. We're excited to watch this all unfold.
Which one of us is getting fired by our job first? Because we have 32 jobs right now.
I'm getting fired in Pittsburgh. There's no way I don't know what. I walked into that job. They got no quarter. I'm resigning in Pittsburgh. Never mind getting fired.
I don't want that job. I'd probably get fired in New York.
But yeah, there it is. Our sort of like a mock draft, sort of like a fun exercise of pretending like we're GMs of teams. But there it is. That is the show. If you made it to the end, thank you so much for listening. If you listen to both of our draft day special episodes, thank you. If you haven't, we've got 5 bold predictions or draft day as another bonus episode. So go ahead and listen to that. But that's going to do it for today's show. Make sure to rate us on Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. All that fun stuff. And we will see you next week.
See you guys.